This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. We're checking in on how global markets closed yesterday.
Yes, it was a day of red, actually some pullback. So the Dow was down 0.3%, S&P 500 down 0.2%, NASDAQ was down 0.7%.
And if we take a look over at the Asian markets, a little bit more mixed here. The Nikkei was up 1%, and so was the Singapore STI. But the Hang Seng was down 0.7%, so was the Shanghai Composite down around 0.9%. The FBM KLCI slightly in the red yesterday, down 0.1%.
So for more insight into global markets, this morning we're speaking with Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us today. Now, US equity markets closed weaker last night as a retail sales were softer than expected, and yet producer prices are indicating pricing pressures. All eyes on the Fed today, but where do you think markets are heading in the short term?
Hey, good morning. I think we're going to have another mixed day. The all roads lead to the FOMC meeting this week, unfortunately, and I think we're going to have choppy range trading until we get that final decision, which will come out early tomorrow morning in Asian time. So I'm expecting more mixed trading today. I do believe Asian stock markets may just tick a little bit lower as investors take risk off the board ahead of the final outcome of that meeting.
And looking into Asia, Asian equities have been tracking the upward trend in the US indices, with the exception of China and Hong Kong. What are the reasons for this divergence?
I actually did put the fall yesterday down to that story that came out about troubles with the nuclear power plant that's 140 kilometres away from Hong Kong in Tiananmen in mainland China. And I thought that might be weighing on sentiment. But I also note that the government in China is engaging in an ongoing crackdown in commodity speculation, but also they've widened that to include wealth management products. And thus we've seen property developers, because a lot of that wealth management product money in China actually gets funneled to more high risk borrowers such as Evergrande and other big property developers. So banks and property developers also suffered yesterday. So I think it's a combination of all these factors at the moment.
Indonesia's strong May trade figures were driven by strong export growth and robust local demand. Jeff, do you think this bullish momentum will continue, or is the economy looking at upcoming headwinds?
There's been a real divergence in Indonesia. So the domestic demand has been very weak since the start of the pandemic, and really hasn't recovered particularly strongly since then. Although, of course, exports, particularly commodity exports, have been booming. Recently, we've seen prices start to top out in commodities such as palm oil and rubber. So I think that the number we saw yesterday, just north of $2 billion, is probably as good as it's going to get in the near to medium term. Having said that, I don't think it's going to deteriorate either. I feel that we're probably going to be printing numbers of plus $2 billion. So Indonesia will still continue paying its way in the world across the rest of this year, but it won't be spectacular. That number may also come under a little bit more pressure as domestic demand recovers, assuming, of course, that they dodge any rapid increase in COVID-19 cases across the country.
Jeff, I'd also be curious to know if you've got any thoughts about Joe Biden's Euro trip and any of the economic implications that come out of that. We've heard a lot of headlines out of the airlines. They apparently come to some agreement with regards to Airbus and Boeing. Is there anything else that you're keeping an eye out for?
I think a lot of it was trying to repair previous relationships. So in that respect, and to strengthen NATO and to harden up Europe and have a more united front towards Russia, particularly, and to a lesser extent China. So I don't think it was necessarily about economics this time around. I think this global 15% tax agreement in principle is a bit of a game changer, though, and I think that will be the biggest achievement of the trip. Perhaps a more level playing field for countries around the world with tax, particularly developing countries, which often miss out on the benefits of this boom in e-commerce, particularly with regards to big technology.
And taking a look at commodities now, Jeff, oil prices reached a two-year high this week. Do you see a commodity supercycle emerging for crude, or is this about as good as it gets?
In the short term, there's a lot of speculative momentum here. I'm looking at the technical indicators. One of my favorites is the relative strength index, and I'm looking at that this morning, and it's moved into overbought territory for both the oil, for both WTI and Brent crude. That tells me that there's a bit of a technical correction coming in the near term. In the medium to longer term, I think as long as the global recovery stays on track, then the outlook for oil is still very positive. And we haven't even seen jet fuel demand recover yet. We're also looking at the futures market, the structure of the pricing in the futures market and a situation called backwardation is actually widened. And I won't bore your listeners with the nuances of it, but what they can take from that is that demand for oil globally is very strong. And the fact that it's very strongly in this backwardation structure means that there's quite a lot of underlying physical demand in the world. So I'm still positive for higher prices in oil as the year goes on, and that will be good for countries such as Malaysia and Indonesia.
To follow up on your points, gold prices have retreated from their $1,900 level. What's been driving the sell-off?
Yeah, I think we've seen quite a lot of speculative longs put on in gold at not too impressive levels, probably close to 1,900. The way that the price action has been behaving over this week suggests to me there's been a lot of stop-loss selling going on as some of those positions have culled. The recovery in Bitcoin, I think, has also played a part. There seems to be some sort of rough inverse correlation there. When Bitcoin rallies, gold comes under a little pressure. So, you know, we've got a few factors here. The dollar has strengthened, Bitcoin has risen, and the market was very, very long speculatively of gold. And I think those factors have combined to push gold lower. If the dollar rises again after the FOMC decision tonight, we're probably going to see more pressure on gold. But I think as long as gold remains above $1,800, then the longer-term bullish cycle is still intact. The unfortunate fact of trading or investing in precious metals is that you need to have a fairly strong stomach because they are very volatile.
And Jeff, are there any other commodities you're paying attention to? We like talking about oil and gold primarily, but generally we're seeing prices surge overall. Anything you're keeping a particular eye on?
Yeah, look, copper looks like it's getting set for a potentially decent correction. Now, China's been very, very busy on that front as well, trying to squash what they call speculative fervor in commodities. Now, they have a real reason for that because they import most of their commodities and turn them into all the things that we buy every day. So, but copper's structure looks like it could potentially have more to run on the downside. So it could have a potentially decent correction lower. I think there's only so much in the bigger picture China can do because at the end of the day, they import most of their commodities. They don't produce them, and thus they only have a certain amount of pricing power in those markets. So I would say commodities are still a buy on the dip as long as the global recovery remains on track. And I don't really see anything knocking that off unless we see a sudden surge in the pandemic around key economies.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda, giving us some insight into global markets as well as some of the commodities that he's paying attention to, copper in addition to oil and gold. But of course, everyone is watching for any statements out of the FOMC, which we'll probably see something by tomorrow morning. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.